big rocks and all that sort of thing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Join in! Then it's on! It's on!
One mic!
London! Welcome! Monsters of Rock featuring Mick Wall and Johnny James Rotten Hutton. Let's have it, people!
Classy. Woo. Classy.
I knew you'd bugger that up. I knew it.
It was really simple. We had a mic. Now, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to use names tomorrow, but anyway, I thought it went quite well.
It's got off to a good start.
Pretty good, yeah. As we mean to go on.
Yeah, very good.
Readers. welcome to a very special edition of the Mick Wall podcast.
Yeah, featuring Mick Wall, etc.
And starring my dear friend.
Yes, thank you.
A man of many names. The great, to some, he is the great interrupter. To some, he is the old batsman.
Yeah.
But to me, he's simply Johnny James Rotten Cricket Pants.
I don't know how I'm supposed to react to this. What do you want me to say? But
I'd rather you didn't say anything, to be honest. Just sit there and look pretty, dear, you know?
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of thought goes into these. A great deal of preparation. I mean, we've been
like you phoned me up yesterday and you said, I don't know if you thought about what you're going to wear, but I find if you've got something in the back of your wardrobe that you think, fuck, if I went out on the street in that, people would just like, that's the thing to put on. So.
Yeah, and I see you followed my advice. Yeah.
I thought you got.
Did you? How did the meeting at the accountant's go? Was it good?
Well, as you know, my finances are very secure.
So we were pondering, you know, in our deep research, what we should talk about. I think that's how you put it, isn't it? Now, we've got, you know, news. There's news. I mean, there's Kiss and their Kiss clones and other stuff on right now.
Yeah.
Or I thought we could start with, what the hell is this? This advert went up for about half a day. We're not naming anybody, Terry. But we're just saying that was supposed to be John Hodton.
He thought, our promoter thought that was me. So I knew that.
Buddy, Marge Proops meets Doc Cotton actually, in the middle.
He goes, anyway, shut up, right?
Shut up.
Who does know who that is?
No one.
They do, of course
no
they do.
No one knows who that is.
It's the bloke out of Green Day. Does anyone actually listen to the podcast?
Not when you start talking about Matthew Tripp. Yeah. That's when
anyway,
they go.
It's Matthew Tripp. No. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. They do. Not on
change
your
the wave band.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Not on your bit.
So John got mistaken for Matthew Tripp. You can see
not
why.
Not for the first.
He's
a
easy
good-looking
mistake
guy.
To make.
Well, Matthew, was he not mistaken for Nikki Sixx? Yes, he was.
Well, I mean, Nikki Sixx, Matthew Tripp, Johnny James. Rotten.
Still the biggest story in rock.
Yeah, you can tell straight away.
Met by genuine silence.
So before we go any further,
let's talk about Kiss. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Well, we can talk about Kiss. I mean, do you care about Kiss? Anybody care about Kiss?
Yes, see, of course they do. And they finish this week, but
yeah, but they don't finish, do they?
But that's the thing. They have spent. I was thinking about this on the way.
You were thinking about it.
Yeah,
yeah,
they've spent
lovely,
like 40 or whatever it is years conditioning people 50. For this 50 conditioning people for this moment, because essentially they've always made it clear they are about merchandise. That's all they're about, essentially, isn't it? You know, Kiss coffins, Kiss all that stuff.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Do you see what
sorry,
I mean?
Yeah.
So the fact that they've turned around and said this is our final show, but actually we're carrying on in a different form.
Yeah.
That's not a surprise to people who follow Kiss.
No. But who wants to go and see Kiss avatars? Anybody? I mean, to me, they've been avatars for decades, haven't they?
Well, the two have. Because the Fab Four, there's Gene and Paul. And then
yeah, and the others, Ken and Ken.
Yeah. I honestly don't know who the other two are.
No one knows who the other two are. I've met them and interviewed them and hung out with them. I don't know who the fuck they are. Who are they? Geezer in a
Your
cape.
Your friend, Doc McGee.
Geezer in a cape.
See, exactly. And it's Doc McGee is the manager of Kiss.
Yes.
And who was the manager of Motley
Crue? Yeah. See, John always alludes to this because he's jealous. Doc McGee, great personal friend of mine. What was it about the multi-millionaire former drug trafficker that first attracted me? I think it was the music. Yeah. It was the music. Yeah. So Doc still manages Kiss. We're going to have him here one night when he comes over, which will be in next summer sometime, I think. Yeah. I cannot reveal more because I don't know. But Terry, what's the next picture? Let's have a look at the next picture, John. Because I'm keen to... Oh, you see... You know that Spotify thing, you know, at the end of the year where they go, oh, look at all the music you listened to, you know. And you go, Christ, did I, you know. Mm. Well, this person, there are many, many readers sent in almost identical images. And you can see the
top
podcast.
You can see the theme, the way you do tend to name your podcast.
So I do's it. Yeah, that's right. Get Your Rocks Off, which is how we started.
Did we?
Yeah. Mm. You can't remember, okay.
Well, no, I didn't know that was the one that I did.
Anyway, you don't remember? No, okay, well, yeah. But one very nice reader sent in, they said, for even-handedness and, you know, to be nice to the daft kid, you know, they sent in their top pod thing. Terry. Top pod thing, Terry.
This is...
And there it is.
Yeah,
there it is.
Who did that?
Isn't it? I think it's nice that John put a picture of his grandson on his podcast profile. Because, you see, John does a cricket podcast.
I do. That's my successful podcast.
Yeah. That's the one that went straight to number one, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Fucking I wanted him to come in his cricket whites.
Your
pads.
It would look sensational, wouldn't it? Maybe?
Pads. I said big laughs. Pads. Bat. Yeah. But
I wanted you to come in your Lemmy shorts, but you didn't do that, did you? Or in your Rob Halford underpants. Well, see, everyone remembers that story.
Well, I have an extensive wardrobe, as as people will tell you.
Goes back a long way.
I have my Rob Halford underpants, bought at Woolworths in Wolverhampton in 1978.
But what I like about them was they were bought out of embarrassment. That's always the best sort of purchase.
Listen, honest
to
God.
Does he expect me to buy these?
I'm 20 years old in the back of a limo with Rob Halford. They picked me up at my mum and dad's house. And we've driven all the way to Wolverhampton, which is obviously rock and roll centre of the universe. And it's a pissing down Saturday afternoon. And we stop outside Woolworths. And I'm thinking, pick and mix? So what are we doing here? Rob gets out, dressed as he always was in those days, for the stage.
But back in the day, those days, Woolworths sold everything, didn't they? I mean, you wouldn't know what you were going in
for.
They sold albums, they sold clothes, they sold sweets.
Sweets, records.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I said albums.
So Rob wants to pop in. Rob wants to buy underwear. So just to show willing, I bought a pair of underpants as well.
Steve, you're so suggestible. You're so suggestible with it because he bought some underpants.
Well, I wanted to get him on side. Yeah. I wanted to get him on side. Yeah. I thought, you know, you're interviewing a rock star. Yeah. What do? You go,
hey, Rob, what ones did you get? I got these ones. I got these special
Rob's like
ones.
This. Little leather one. I'm like, oh, I bought these.
You got that? You remember those Y fronts where the Y was a different colour? Yeah, and that was.
That was yellow, wasn't it? It was yellow at the front.
I don't know. I don't know those particular ones.
And then there's what else have I got, John? I've got my Axl Rose Sports Direct elasticated waistband.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say you have one of those. One of those.
We've all got those. Come on, fellas, admit and ladies, don't pretend you don't have the old. Hey. What?
What?
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that's the key.
Look, hey! Put that over there, John,
so you don't
obstruct people's view of, you know, rock. This is Coco the Metal Pug. He was a star of Get Your Rocks Off. He makes an appearance still on the current podcast. But back then, I mean, I don't know if you know pugs, but they're really clingy. They have separation issues. So we'd be in a room at my house trying to do the pod, and it was very early days. We're like, silence, you must be quiet, you must have quality recording, weren't we? And he'd be scratching at the door, barking. So we'd have to let him in, and he would fall asleep and snore. Like a horrible old drunk in an alley. And he basically ended up on every single podcast we did, doing it.
He's solid as well, isn't he? You can't lift him.
No, you can't. He weighs a ton. So we took some pictures of him in a kerchief and a leather jacket. You can buy those for pugs. And they don't fit him anymore because he's carrying a bit more timber
don't
now.
Don't shame him. Don't shame him.
I don't want to fat shame.
Did he? When you were strapped into that waistcoat earlier.
These
it was adjusted
lights.
At the back. He's like, oh, I think that guy measured me wrong when he made this. That's what you said. I wouldn't say that.
I don't know if you know this. This is a showbiz secret. But these lights, they add. They add pounds. They add pounds. Yeah. You know. When I come and when I
quite right.
Now listen. I think you'll find in the actuality.
See, they're actually better at this than you are. This is
You see, this is what you call devoted readers. And you know, it hits me right here where my wallet usually sits. it doesn't really, does it though, John? We've made, how much have we made in the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'll tell you what though.
Oh.
I was going to say this.
Oh.
It accidentally came on in the car just as we were actually with
What actually
Jasmine,
came on in the car?
Our podcast, because we've been listening to something else, and then it came on at the end.
Listens to the podcast.
And bloody
Do you edit out my bits?
No,
just your
what I heard was an ad for Asda.
What?
And Yasmin
on
said,
Spotify?
Yeah, Yasmin said to me, oh, he's getting money that you don't know about. And I thought, yeah, he probably bloody is.
It's a good job she's not here tonight, John, or I'd be giving her a look.
But I do kind of want an explanation.
Listen, I have no idea how it works. The first time I heard that ad come up on Spotify, it's like, what the fuck is this? And and where's the money? Finally, we got a thick. We did this on a pod.
So you say we? I didn't get it. I only know about it because you told me about it.
Got this thing saying from Acast, who put out the pod, saying we'd earned 1,060 or something. You know, I'm looking on my
He's
phone.
Like, yeah, great. He phoned me up and said, you've earned 200SK or whatever.
No, what it was it was like, you've earned 1,000 SLK.
Because we made 400.
And they take like half of it. And I'm thinking, well, that still leaves 500. You know, I'm going, 500, you know. And I'm thinking,
they
what the fuck is SLK?
Who takes half of it?
They do.
Who's they?
Acast or whoever. You're asking
so
me.
So they're saying you've earned 1,000, but we're taking 500.
Yes.
Well, that's not how it works. They just go, you've got 500, here you go.
So, John doesn't really understand
finance. No.
In the complicated world of show business. So I thought, okay, SLK, what's that like? Serious Loving Kicks or something. I don't know. So I'm looking it up. I mean, still 500, still 500, isn't it? And SLK turns out that's Swedish currency. And I'm like, oh, so what's 500 and whatever in £37? £18.50 each. But we still have an invoice.
Yeah, but they've got to take 50%, haven't they?
No, they already have. That's what we're. That's our cut. £18, mate.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. So anyway, now this. Now there's a. I'm going to hand over to John at this point because.
Why?
Because. Wow. Can I get a. Wow. So. What's that? Me? Hey. Have you met the current Mrs. Wall? Because I think you might be about to. So when I first met young Johnny, you know, when he came into Kerrang as a work experience.
Yes, boy, truth.
True. All truth. True.
1987. Year of DC.
So we used to send him on, you know, baby assignments, stuff that didn't really matter. You know, if he fucks it up, no one's going to read it anyway. And in the middle of all this, John, as a talent spotter, purely musical, decided... See, this is Lisa Dominique. John discovered Lisa, didn't you, John?
Well, no, I think, I think you mentored her. Discovered Lisa. That's it. No. You got it in.
No. Wait. So, you used to go on the road with Lisa, didn't you?
I did it twice.
You went up. Twice.
Once to Morecambe Bay. Yeah.
That sounds like a dirty weekend. Well, do you want to come to Morecambe, baby?
Yeah. It wasn't just me. And
was
her,
she wearing obviously. Her swimsuit?
And that was the occasion when John Waite turned up.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
Lisa
was
and
he
her brother.
Missing her?
Lisa and her brother Marino were both from, well, obviously being brother and sister, they would be from the same place.
Marino.
They were both
Marino
from Hull.
He's obfuscating here. He's,
I'm not
he's,
obfuscating.
He's
I'm telling you the story. So, but they were from Hull. That was their.
Who
their
Lisa?
Place. Yeah.
Was from Hull.
From Hull, along with Marino. So
highway to Hull.
And there was one other. There was one other. There were two other rock stars from Hull. There was Mick Ronson.
Oh yeah.
Who had actually produced Lisa's album.
Really?
Yes. I don't know.
What
why,
was the best track?
I don't know. I don't know how she got him to
what
do
was
it.
Your But you
I don't
like,
know how
but
she
I think
I don't know what Mick Ronson John, thought he was. You know,
you see,
thought he'd be in a studio
see,
with Lisa.
The thing is, John, you admired her singing voice, didn't
so,
you?
So, as did Mick Ronson, who spent about 18 months recording an album.
Yeah. No one's listening to that bit. You liked her voice, didn't you, John? Did you think she had musical talent?
So,
In abundance.
I'm going to say this. Whatever you say, I'm just going to say this.
Please do. Please
so, the other famous musician from Hull, and he was really famous at the time, was John Waite. If you remember, was in the he was in the Babies, but then he was in who was that band with Neil Sean?
Bad English.
Bad English. And they had a massive hit with...
What's this got to do with Lisa Dominique?
For fuck's sake.
Well, get on with
it. How many times have I told you this story? I sometimes get the feeling you don't listen to anything I say.
Let me ask you the question. Let me ask you what the readers really want. Did you...
That's appalling. You know, this is 2023. You can't say things like that.
I personally am... I didn't hear a no.
How childish and immature.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
Carry on. So, do you want me to carry on or not?
No, not really.
No, all right.
I got another question for you.
Yes, do go ahead. This is, I'll tell you how it arose. So, the other famous rock star.
Yeah, we're not listening to that anymore, John. Anyway, I tell you what, Terry, let's get poor old Johnny James off the hook here. Let's have a look at the next
all
picture.
Right, yeah, let's not hear my funny stories.
Let's not hear what?
No.
What?
No, you just carry on. Go on. It's your show.
Terry, put Lisa back up.
I don't want to do it now. I don't want to do it anymore.
I'm sorry, John. Did you get interrupted? I'm sorry. Now, tell us about Lisa.
Precisely why I didn't want to do this.
Tell us about Lisa.
So the other famous rock star from Hull was John Waite. And he turned up in Morecambe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So if you can imagine, like, John Waite was actually really famous.
There's Matthew Tripp there as well.
This is just like my whole Kerrang life. Matthew Tripp, Lisa Dominique. Matthew Tripp, Lisa Dominique. Yeah.
Terry's gone mad.
Right,
you're right there, Terry.
Are you all
right? I think Terry's had a stroke. What's that?
This wasn't how it went in the non-existent rehearsal.
Terry, calm yourself, mate. Calm yourself. So, John, tell us more about Lisa Dominique.
So John Waite showed up in Morecambe, of all places.
Was he wearing his swimming costume as well?
No, but he was. I mean, the reason he turned up in Morecambe was essentially to try and have his, you know, put his rock star charms on Lisa.
And did she fall for it?
No, well, no.
Or did she stay loyal?
Because the thing that, and this will explain a lot.
Oh, yeah.
If I tell you that Lisa was actually married during this whole experience to her manager, who was on the road with everyone as well, a guy called Michael, who's now a big sort of very famous lawyer.
And did he know about you and Lisa?
So John Waite steams in. And
Michael
was sort of otherwise indisposed. Uh-huh. So Lisa Dominique pretended that I was her boyfriend to get rid of John Waite.
That's absolutely what happened.
And that is the only reason that that rumour ever started.
And that
is the actuality. To steal a phrase. And then we went on tour to Spain with Saxon, which was amazing.
Living the dream, that
was when we discovered that Biff Byford had a set of false teeth that he used for singing.
Who did, sorry?
Biff Byford.
His false teeth?
He has false teeth, but he has a special set for singing because, like me, he's slightly sibilant on the microphone.
He dribbles on the microphone because of his dentures.
So he had a special set that did, you know, when he was doing Strangers in the Night, didn't do that. You know, Strangers in the Night like that. False teeth, yeah. And they were discovered at the side of the stage in a glass. It was fabulous. So very funny, very funny. So it was good. So we had good times, you know.
Did you ever hear that story Ray Palmer used to tell about this? I can't remember the singer's name, but he had a stutter, except for when he sang. Do you remember that
one? Oh, wasn't it the bloke from Chicago and he was getting robbed?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this guy had a terrible
Peter
stutter.
Peter Cetera.
Yeah, Peter Cetera, except for when he sang.
Well, that's because singing's often used to cure stuttering.
Right. So back to the story. So Ray's, our old friend Ray, the photographer, John's friend really, Ray the photographer, used to take that picture. Peter Cetera had been robbed. He got back to his hotel room after the show and he'd been robbed. And raising the bar, as always, talking to the manager, and Peter Cetera comes running in, going, Peter, what's wrong? What's wrong? Peter, calm down. What's wrong? Peter, sing it. And he goes, I've been robbed. My room was broken into. All my shit is gone. True story.
Yeah, it definitely happened, yeah.
In the actuality.
Oh, applause. So oh, look, look at him puffing up. It's like, it's back in the day when you... Terry, where's the picture of him back in the day when he had a show on MTV?
Oh, yeah, do we have that picture,
where's that one?
Terry, if you're,
this is the best
you're still
one.
With us?
Yeah. Now, if he's not stroked out.
See, that's very much the 80s, and now you're going to see another picture. No.
Oh, who's that? See, that was what he was like when I first knew. That was Mick Wall. People used to say, there goes Mick Wall. They actually used to say that.
Yeah, and I used to be like, fuck off.
You did, and that's why you got fucking sacked.
I was a very, very nice man.
That's why, because everyone hated you.
Very nice man.
In the editorial meetings, who supports Mick? Yeah, no one. Yeah, that was it. That's how it finished.
No, it was respect. It was deep respect. You see...
Because you see that... You imagine that picture with Ross Halfin next to him, which they sent as a Christmas card to all the other writers on Kerrang! Go, hope you're having a lovely Christmas.
No, that was a pic... Not this picture, but that was a picture of me and Ross at the swimming pool at the Sunset Marquee holding up champagne glasses and going, you know... Hope you're having fun in England. Was it? And you loved us for it, didn't you?
We really appreciated it, yeah.
So this was my golden god period. This is the balcony of the Hyatt on Sunset, which is the Riot House.
If it's where the last scene or the scene of the swimming pool of Spinal Tap is.
That's right.
That's where most people know it from.
That's right. In fact, I was in that film, but it got cut out.
Yeah, I bet it did. Yeah. You're in the sequel, though, aren't you? They said we want to find an old, fucked rock journalist. Yeah. That's because when I interviewed Spinal Tap, I said to them, where do you want to do it? They said, the Rainbow, where old rockers go to die. And that's what and that was in about 1989.
Yes, yeah. And then you ran down there quick as your long legs could carry you.
My film star friends, yeah. My film star chums.
So, yes, this is in my pomp, and literally about 9 months later I got the boot, didn't I? Unbelievable.
No, it was
unbelievable.
A bit later than that.
No.
But that was when you had your show on, what was it, Sky or whatever it was?
I don't really talk about it very much. Most of you probably don't know... No,
because it was so long ago. That was when they had squareals, wasn't it? That's what you needed to see the show. Have you got a squareal?
No. It was even before those. This is when the dish was like on the lunar module. It was huge, and only very very rich people could afford one. Or if you lived in Milton Keynes and you got cable, or Dublin. Dublin used to get it for free, and about 20 countries in Europe. It was the second most popular show
God,
on
really,
Sky.
Are people after, really interested?
No, hang
in
on, this? Hang on. It was the second most popular show on Sky after Mr. Ed the Talking Horse. See, that's fame.
That doesn't sound right.
That's fame. That's fame.
That sounds somewhat contrived. Yeah. Anyway, did you
in
have,
the
did,
actuality?
Did you have a Harley Davidson, or did you just have the T-shirt?
Just out of shot. Yeah.
Anyway. You've ridden it up the stairs like Bonzo used to.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We were wondering, weren't we, John? We were wondering.
I wasn't.
If you might have any questions.
I think they've already asked the question.
I'll take that as a no. No question. No further questions.
No one's interested.
No one's interested. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, then let's... Crack on with the news, John.
Oh, okay.
What's next?
Well, This is really boring, so I don't know why. But I ordered Geddy Lee's audio
book. Boring. You ordered Geddy Lee's. Yeah.
Well, because he's done an autobiography. Book. Yeah.
Yes, it's great.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Shut up, Geddy. We saw you sneaking in with your little book under your arm.
It's great because
Rush really are boring.
Yeah.
Go on.
Well, you see, I bought it specifically because I thought it would be boring. So I got into this habit of playing an audiobook to get me to go to sleep. And I thought, Geddy Lee is so dull, this will definitely work. And I do like Rush, and I did want to hear about, you know, how they made Moving Pictures or whatever. And but it starts off, with an incredibly moving way where he talks about his family and the Holocaust and how they came to Canada after having been in the... Oh, dear. After having been in a concentration camp. Yeah. So he writes, but he writes really not as tough as growing up in Ealing, obviously. Yeah. You know, not that hard.
Comparable.
But it was quite comparable. Hard. Go to Canada. These tremendously moving early chapters about his family, and then his father died when he was 12, you know, and all of this stuff. Oh dear. Again.
It's sad, isn't it?
It is. So it was really good, but then it goes on to Rush, and then it gets really fantastically boring.
Yeah.
Where it's just every time he goes into a studio, you start to dread it because he just reads out a list of everyone who's been into, you know, Thin Lizzy and, you know, I don't know, Genesis.
Who knew? Who knew? Yeah. Rush in boring shock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Which Rush fanatic is here booing?
But then again, it gets...
Aggro, John. He's looking at you, mate.
Because I'm now going to say, then it gets really interesting again, where he talks about what happens to Neil Peart, the drummer, the professor, as he's known, who wrote all the
lyrics. Know,
semi-fascistic lyrics that they got away with. And he loses his family in a car crash.
this is really a
tremendously cheery book.
I can't wait to order this. And it's
really
on Audible,
yeah, it
you
really
say.
Cheered me up when I read it. Yeah.
And then
he gets brain cancer and dies, and the band finishes. But my point was the band was so, yeah.
Wow.
You see, and Geddy Lee is left incredibly frustrated and slightly bitter at the fact that the band has finished, and he can't, because they always agreed that they would never carry on.
Thank God for that. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my experience of the Geddy Lee book.
Wow.
Make of that what you will.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Is that me or Geddy? Who's
about? No. Well, I don't know. You wouldn't have written about Rush because you were above that. Yeah, there's no way you'd have gone and done Rush.
No.
Why
would you go from Guns N' Roses to Rush?
Yeah.
You know?
Metallica, you and your little friend Lars.
Did we invite the Rush fan club president here tonight, specifically?
See?
Well, it's all going well so
see,
far.
And so I told you my Rush material would be valid. And it was. And it was. Yeah. See?
Yeah. See?
Yeah. No, I like Signals is my favourite. So let's not go down that path. Yeah. But that's all in the book if you want to know exactly how they recorded hemispheres. That information is there. In detail. My friend.
Let's never mention it again, okay?
All right. Yeah. But it's now, news, isn't it? It's news. What I was going to do is tie that to the end of Kiss.
Oh, go on then.
You said, well, no, I'd done it. I just did it. Yeah, it's the end of Rush.
You just did
it? End of Rush, it's the end of Kiss. You know, all bands, even those we love, like Motley Crue, are going to end.
Blimey. I mean, we're really on a roller coaster to joy here, are we? Talk about buzzkill.
Yeah. But it was you. I mean, you were.
Is it because you're at that funeral today? Is that where you're in a downcast mood?
No. I wasn't the one who came in and put me foot warmers on.
A low blow. Yeah. Now, I'm gonna lighten the mood here because there's a Johnny James. It turns out today is the 20th anniversary of him making this lovely lady over here thoroughly miserable. Isn't that right, Johnny?
It is. Oh, thank you. See, I told you it was worth cancelling everything.
Now, John,
all those things I'd arranged.
Now, you had a lot of.
I had all this stuff planned. It was great. Yeah. First time she was going to see Iron Maiden. Yeah. it was a good swerve. But you haven't got to go home and talk about the Lisa Dominique stuff, mate.
What, this girl? That girl,
stop
John.
Showing it, for God's sake. It's a Christmas picture. Look, it's got mistletoe in it.
Sorry, mate.
Thank you. Yeah. It's not the same. These lights are blind. It's not the same person as Rush, is it?
I think it is. Okay. Yes, please.
If you could, yeah.
Why don't you, one of you, any of you, all of you, shout out a name and we'll give you a story you never heard before.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, because you now induced the bitterness of his departure from Kerrang, because he got locked in a cupboard, didn't you, with poison, and that's why you had to leave.
There's this whole thing about I got locked in a cupboard. I didn't get locked in a cupboard. I was abandoned in a large room next to their dressing room. And I've told that story a million times.
Yeah, they hadn't
another
treated,
name.
They hadn't treated you with sufficient respect.
That's
that was
right.
The feeling.
That's Prince.
Prince.
Blimey, I'm getting the short straw here, aren't we? Try another one.
Bruce Dickinson.
Back in the 80s, when Bruce was Bruce, he had this.
When he was Bruce.
A lot of public school boys have this. So I don't know if it's that sort of thing or if it's just Bruce was a knob, but he wouldn't talk to you. He would talk at you.
Oh, yeah, he really did do that.
He really would. And he'd be
especially if he'd just done a solo album.
Or written a book. Or was going fencing. Or did I tell you about my flying lessons?
Yeah, oh, fuck off, yeah.
And people literally, at Iron Maiden parties, you'd be like going to Bruce. And then I'm in Olympic level fencing. And then I'm the greatest. And people would wave a fiver behind his back so that you'd come along and go, all right, mate, all right. And he wouldn't even notice the interchange because it was just, and I'm learning to fly a plane and I do fencing. I'm going to write a book. Have you ever read Lord Iffy Boat Race? No one's read that book, Bruce. And, of course, the dirty little secret was that Bruce and Steve Harris hated
best
each other.
Friend,
sorry. Or was it best friends? Yeah. It was one or the other. Steve Harris used to hate him so much that his nickname was the Chimp in those days, Bruce. Because if you think
back in the day when you could call someone with a chimp without offending them particularly.
No offence taken, you know. But he used to look like sort of Bill Oddie on speed. Yeah, he'd have that sort of
weird teeth, didn't he?
Yeah, and that bowl hair thing. And he'd be wearing like, you know, Knights of the Realm clothes and all that sort of thing. And
Knights.
You know, like fucking Robin Hood or something. Not Robin Hood, not Maid Marian either.
You're thinking of when he was on stage.
What?
Are you thinking of when he was on stage?
No, all the time. Yeah. Leather jerkins, you know, that sort of thing. So they used to call him the Chimp. And there was a flight back at the end of the World Slavery Tour, Power Slave. the final show shows are in Japan, and on the flight back, the rule was Steve was never to be seated next to Bruce, not in a restaurant, not on a plane, not on the tour bus. In the end, Steve had his own tour bus to get away from Bruce. But Bruce was blissfully unaware. He thought Steve was a fucking lovely bloke. You know, I love Steve. I'll come with you, Steve. Get him away, get him away. And as a joke, in those days, they used to have a tour manager. Was it Tony Wiggins? No. But he used to be Gilbert O'Sullivan's tour manager, okay? And now he's doing Iron Maiden. And in the hotel...
Oh, he's the guy with the cardigans and stuff.
The tour manager at a hotel will go to the desk and get everybody's keys and all their rooms. He'd be in his slippers and his cardigan. And because he'd been working with Gilbert all those years. And now he's with Nico McBrain. And Nico would be going, that's no... He'd look at his room and he'd go, that's so fucking good! Because his wife would be coming out. He used to call her his sweet pea. He'd be like, that's not good enough for my fucking sweet pea! We go, you're right, Tony. Go, I'm okay. So it was the same with Gilbert. We go, fuck. So as a joke, everybody persuaded Tony on the flight back from Japan to make it so that Steve had to sit next to Bruce for 13 hours. In the first class section. And poor old Tony, of course, is back in economy with the rest of us. And Steve is horrified, you know. And so and this is when he was writing Iffy Boat Race or whatever. He goes, Steve, look, you could read my book, you know. Plane takes off. As soon as it takes off, he unbuckles his seat, marches down to economy, gets hold of Tony Wiggins, and he goes, oi! Who put me next to the fucking chimp? And Tony's like, oh, it's just a bit of a joke, Steve. Yeah, well, you go and fucking sit next to him. And Steve sat in economy for the whole journey rather than sit next to
And that was the right choice, yeah.
Yeah, and it was the right
choice. He never had to interview him about his solo album, Skunk Works. Yeah.
I did that his PR in those days.
Well, you must have got me to do
that. Yeah.
Cheers. Yeah.
Have you ever met Bruce? Yeah, he's lovely. Yeah. Good really talker. Another name.
Phil
Lynott. Oh. It's like that moment when the saloon doors open in a cowboy film. And in comes Phil.
It was great to get to know Phil because I'd been that Thin Lizzy fan. I was 18 when The Boys Are Back in Town was a hit. And then, long story short, 18 months later, I'm working with them. And he truly was, you know, we have this idea of the mythic rock star, you know, the cowboy, the Clint Eastwood guy that comes into town, or, you know, that kind of charismatic, all-male hero.
Yeah, he was a bit manly for you, wasn't he? He was like, you had to take a step back. Yeah.
But he had a poet's heart, you see.
Oh, yeah.
A poet's heart. Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know where to start with Phil, because it's you know, I don't know what to say. He loved life. Well,
you said he was the man who introduced you to Fleetwood Mac.
Well, you know, that's an apocryphal story, for another time. But and also, to be honest, I always feel so sad for Phil because that last sort of 6 months of his life. In fact, I've been talking about maybe John keeps encouraging me to write a book about this.
Yeah.
You know, Live Aid in 1985, Phil and Lizzie were not invited to it, which in retrospect was a hell of a thing because Geldof owed a lot of his early career to Lynott. Lynott really mentored him when they Boomtown Rats first came to London. Midge-Ure, after, you know, Slick, the Bay City roller band he was in, Rich Kids, Never Happened, absolutely down on his luck. And Phil brought him into Thin Lizzy after Gary Moore bailed out of the Black Rose tour in 79. Yeah. And then carried on working with Midge on a solo album And they did Yellow Peril, which turned into Yellow Pearl, which was the Top of the Pops theme. Yeah. Still in 85, that was the theme. So Phil had a lot to do with helping these guys with their career. But come Live Aid, they didn't want him. Didn't want him. All these other bands are reforming. Wouldn't it have been great if Thin Lizzy had reformed for Live Aid? I mean, God bless Status Quo and Queen and all those guys, but Thin Lizzy? Come on. But they didn't invite him, and it was quite humiliating for him. And so on the day, he actually flew to Dublin and literally went to RTE, the big radio station, and on the door, as they're doing the Live Aid broadcast, and basically said, look, I'm here if you want me to commentate. And so they brought him in, and he spent the afternoon talking over the Live Aid broadcast. And then he was dead 6 months later, less than 6 months later. And so for me, there's a lot of funny things about Phil, but ultimately I think it's a tragedy. It's a real tragedy because he really was that talented guy. From the days before heavy metal was heavy metal and pop was pop and never the twain shall meet, he was very much in that sort of Bruce Springsteen area, where you could be a hard rocker but also have something to say. And if you listen to those special Lizzy albums from those days, it was really something special, I think. So that's another downer. Yeah. We're not doing well here, are we, mate?
Just go back to your Rob Halford underpants material.
You don't. God, they really want the dirt.
Half an hour before every podcast is recorded is spent him Francis Rossi.
Go on.
Well, no, I was just saying he's one of those really annoying people who cracks a joke the minute you peek. So if you have to interview him on the phone, you'd be dreading, what you got to ask him about or whatever. And you'd phone him up and he'd be like, you know, 11 o'clock, Francis, ring the number and pick it up and you go, oh, hello, speak to Francis, please. Half a pound of chicken and cheese or something. It would just be a stupid voice that he'd put on. And you think, I know it's you. Anyway.
When I ghosted his memoir, I talked too much. All through that, and I'd worked with him for years, and he always says this, and he nearly always sticks to it. He's like, I'm not going to read this. You can write whatever you like. And I, okay, but it's meant to be you writing it. I'm just writing it, And we did all this, and 6 months later, we've got a book. And then a few days before Christmas 2018, he rings me and he says, I thought he meant I've got some notes. He goes, this book, I've been looking at it. Will you come over and we'll talk about it? I went, sure, yeah, he's got some notes. So I drove over there, long way from where I live, and I get there, and he says, right, can you read it to me? I went, which bit? He went, no, the book. I said, you want me to read you the book? He goes, yeah, what's wrong with that? I went, what, today? He went, well, you can come back tomorrow. I spent the next 6 days driving to Francis Rossi's place. The current Mrs. Wall is here. She'll attest to this, won't you? And it would be, you've got to be here at 11 a.m. I'd get there at 2 minutes past. He lives 2.5 hour drive from me. I'd get there at 2 minutes past 11. He'd be standing outside going like this. What time do you call this? And I go, I'm 2 minutes late, Francis. He goes, there's never an excuse for being late. I said, I've been on the M25 where there's been a multiple car pileup. No, you're late. And this one, every fucking day. The only good part was, as I'm reading him the book, I was recording everything. I've still got it. I'm not waiting for Francis to die. I recorded every word of this, right? So I'm reading him the book. And, of course, it's an official ghosted memoir. So it's all like, oh, he was a bloody good bloke. Oh, we had a wonderful time, And it'd be, oh, Jimmy was there. He was a great guy. And Francis would go, he was a cunt. I go, why? And he'd tell me some horrendous story. And I go, this is terrific. I go, so we can put that in? He went, no, you can't fucking put that in. That'd be ridiculous. I go, okay. So I carry on reading. And then there was Alan and, they were very important on that. They did fuck all on that album. They were rubbish. Tell me why. And I love it. Great story. We can put that in. No, you can't put that in. this went on for days and days and days. Things he told me about Rick Parfitt, things he told me about everybody's wives, all this stuff. And I'm going, this is terrific. We got to get... No, don't be ridiculous. I'm like, well, shut up then and let me read. It went right on up to Christmas Day. He's ringing me. We're on page 312. Carry on. So I've still got all those recordings, and I vowed never to release them. Okay. How are we doing for time over here? We're doing good. Oh, okay. Good, good. Now, John.
Yes.
What's the...
You can't think of anything, can you?
Of course I can. Yeah. I'm a font of questions.
You know, it's like your MTV show, whatever it was.
Kirk Cobain.
Kirk.
Invented by John.
It wasn't... It was.
He kept calling him Kirk Cobain.
Yeah, it was just a slip of the...
Do you even know who he was, John? Because you were a big grunge fan,
yeah, I was a huge...
You?
Yeah,
down... You're big on grunge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Couldn't wait when
that What was your favourite band?
all of them. The third track.
What was the best album, though?
Yeah, all of... Oh, I'll tell you what, it was the one that Nirvana did after they'd done the big hit Nevermind. And then...
In Utero.
In Utero.
And what was your favourite track?
Well, what I would have liked to have been would have been to have been at the record company when he delivered it.
Yeah, I don't think he turned up personally.
No, no, no. Yeah, I know, yeah. It's theoretically the tapes arrive. Yeah. Oh, great. Has he written another Teen Spirit? Has he written another Lithium? Has he written a... Rape Me is the first song. And like all this other, yeah.
Yeah, he was a true artist. Yeah. He was a man of the people. Yeah. Man of the people. But this is Kirk Cobain. Not the same guy. He didn't die for you. He tried for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who knows my Sunday Lunch with Ozzy story?
Oh, yes.
What's that, sorry? There is wine. There is pissed. I was trying to write his official biography. It was 1985, and every time we sat down to talk, he was so horrendously drunk that we couldn't get anywhere. I remember turning up once, and him and Sharon are in bed, and he's like, "Oh, I've got a cold. I can't talk to Jamie." You know,
this was the year of the frosted.
Oh, yeah, as he put it, I was with them at Live Aid, and afterwards he said, I look like a fucking fat Joan Collins.
He did.
And he sounded like
If
one.
You see him in Decline and Fall of Western Civilization, he looks like that, when they fake scene with the orange juice.
So this goes on and on and on. And finally Sharon says, look, he's going to cook us Sunday lunch, okay? Come over, because she's thinking, obviously, surely he can't get fucking pissed.
Is this the place in England? The place in...
Yeah, in...
The Chalfonts?
No, this is in Berkeley Square, in Fitzrovia. Wow. It was, like, very posh. So I turn up Sunday, good as gold.
In your Sunday best.
My Sunday best, yeah. Looking a bit like John is now, but less gay. Come and see me after class. Please don't. So I turn up and I'm thinking, Sunday, Aussie's cooking. I'm thinking there'll be some sort of slave that will be doing it. You know. Yeah. No, he's in there. He's literally got his pinny on. He's got his hair tied back and he's peeling the spuds and he's got cauliflower cheese. He's got the full fucking Monty. He's got roast beef. He's got everything you can think of. I'm like, all right, Ozzy. And Sharon comes in and she goes, Ozzy, I'm going to take the kids out to the park with the nanny. All right, Sharon. Mick, you stay with Ozzy. Keep an eye on him. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. So he's there over the pots and they're all bubbling and fuck knows what else. He looks clearly distressed, but he's in his pinny. And I'm thinking, well, this is unusual. And... So he's doing whatever he's doing. And as the front door closes and you hear the steps up the path, Sharon and the kids and the nanny, to the gate, and then the gate opens and closes, and then the car... Vroom, vroom. The whole time he's frozen. I'm like, you're right, Ozzy. Shut up. You're right, mate. Shut up. And finally, you hear the car drive away, and he goes, "Thank fuck for that. Do you want a drink?" And I went, "Sure." He goes, "You like wine?" I went, "Sure." He opens a fridge. They've got many fridges. All there is in there is bottles of wine, very expensive wine. He pulls out two bottles, gets two pint glasses. He's like, "I can't find the fucking opener." I went, "Well, let me have a look." "Fuck off." He gets his thumb and he pushes the cork into it. It goes all over his arm, you know. Then he gets the other one, my one. And he gets the bit gonk, 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 you know, two of them. Pint glasses. He gives one to me and he goes, "Cheers." And he's like this. It's going all down here. Oh, gong, gong, on, gong, 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 gong. Want another one? I'm like, I'm still on my yeah, <mate." still> So he goes to the fridge, pulls out another bowl, two bottles. Gong, 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 gong. "Shall we have one more?" I said, "No, I'm still good, you know." Anyway, he carries on. He is absolutely obliterated. And I'm thinking, when Sharon comes home, I'm so in the shit. Finally, the car pulls up. I'm going, "No, no, no." He's been cooking still, but in a kind of... And he could have set fire to the place, you know. And so suddenly she comes in, the kids come in, and she comes in, the nanny. She comes in the kitchen, she takes one look. Goes, "Ozzy, why don't you go and sit down and I'll finish." And she looks at me and she goes, "Why don't you go and sit with him?" I'm holding a pint of wine still. So I go in and the table's made. It's all posh and lovely and the nanny and the kids. And Sharon's sitting at the head of the table. Ozzy's opposite me here and I'm here and the kids and the nanny. And it all comes out, and it's like, you know, the meat, the potato, the mash, the cauliflower cheese, everything. It's like, you know, people are passing stuff around, gravy. And he's looking at me like this. And he goes, "Bosh!" Straight into the plate. And there's potato and gravy, and I'm sort of looking at him. Yeah. Looking at Sharon, she's like, pass the peas, you know, over his head. And I'm looking at him and I go, "Is he all right?" And she goes, "Fuck him." I went, "Sure, sure, sure, yeah." So we have lunch and he's buried in the food and he's snoring and the gravy's bubbling and the hair and it's like, would you like some more potatoes? I'm like, still got my pint. So anyway, towards the end of the meal, he wakes up and he's like this. It's like, slow, slow. It's all falling off his face. And he's like, "Sharon." She went, "Just fucking shut up." And she goes over and she lifts him up and drags him up the stairs. And I'm thinking, fuck, man. How do you... Is that the time, you know? So she comes back and she looks at me and she goes, "Would you like a proper glass for that?" I went, "Oh, yeah." But she'd seen it so many times.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So he's gone to bed and she takes me into another lounge room. And she says, "Look, this is never going to fucking happen. Interview me, I'll tell you everything that he would tell you, and you can just put it in his words." And that's what we did, and that book was called Diary of a Madman, and every quote in there from Ozzy is Sharon telling me that story. And that was my Sunday lunch with Ozzy. And on that note, readers, we're going to take a little break. And then in the second half...
A rock star is going to join us.
An actual god of rock
yeah.
is going to be here. His name is Ginger Wildheart. For me, the greatest fucking rock artist of the 90s and beyond. And he'll be here right after this.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How do I stop this, Fern?